All right, so glad that you are here, and we say this a lot, but we mean it. If you are looking for a perfect church, let us know when you find it. We are not it. We got issues and problems and histories and baggage, but we found a perfect God that loves us no matter what, and that's what we're here celebrating. God is good. God is greater. And over the last couple of weeks, we've been talking just about that, of how great God is, and we were asking the question, you know, we know that God is great, but when's the last time God has been great for you in your story and in your circumstance and in your problem? And we discovered as we look at Scripture that God's greatness is above everything that we can ever ask or think, that he is greater than our problems, he's greater than our needs. But we don't find God's greatness by just sitting back and waiting for God to show up and be great, that we find God's greatness by obedience, that when we do what he asks us to do, God shows up every time when we trust him and we move forward. Okay, God, I'm going to trust you in this. Okay, God, I'm going to follow what you say in this, that God shows up and he's able, that he is greater no matter what. And these last couple of weeks, we've heard some just amazing, amazing stories of God's greatness shown in the lives of people. And as we heard their story, what we find is that, like Scripture says, they weren't just sitting back and just waiting for God to fix the issue or solve the issue or just come in and make it all better, but they followed God day by day, step by step, and God showed up in just incredible, incredible ways. And we started off, and I'm thankful that Carol Smith shared how God is greater than anything I leave behind. That when God calls you forward, when God says, trust me, I want you to take a step of faith, there's some things I'm calling you from, that those things that we leave behind, we find that God is greater and God has something more every single time. You will never regret taking that step of faith and following where God leads you. And even though sometimes that step is hard, that step is difficult, you find that God is greater. Last week, Eric so beautifully, beautifully shared that God is greater than my sorrow, that God is greater than my loss, that when we go through things in life, that it feels like it just rips the guts out from us and we don't know how we're going to make it, that we have a God that is with us. And I'm thankful. One of the things he brought up was so, so beautiful. He said that when you're in the valley, everything looks big. But I'm thankful for the God that walks with you through the valley. That, yeah, it looks like insurmountable. It looks so huge. But he says, I'm with you. I'm with you. And how beautiful is that? With a God that knows. A God that says, you know, I know what that's like. I'm with you. I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to abandon you. And we find a God that's greater than my loss. Well, today we're going to have one more. And I'm so excited about today. And just very, very powerful. Very powerful message today. When we look back over the past couple of years, there was a circumstance that played out in our town that many of us watched the story of Larry Fernandez play out in the news media. And we saw how that it began with a situation back in August 2012. It began with the disappearance of a man named Brian Harvey back in August, again, several years ago, 2012. And there was a missing man, and they were searching for him. And months passed as they were looking for this individual. And then several months later, we saw on the news, Larry Fernandez was arrested for that disappearance. And that played out through the news media, and we saw his face on TV. We saw the story played out in the newspaper. And then on January 2014, Larry Fernandez was found guilty of murdering this individual and was charged with that and was sent to prison. And again, it was part of our community. It was part of the news that was going on around us. But for many here, it was more than just a story, because Larry was a part of this church for quite some time, that he was a man that we worshiped with. He was a man that we prayed with. We served together. We worked together, worked on things, worked on projects throughout. We laughed together. He was part of our community until his life began to unravel and lead him down the road to where he eventually ended up. And we know his story. We know the circumstances surrounding all of that. We've seen it played out. We've seen it and experienced it here as part of our church community. But there is another story. there is another side to this. There's an untold story, a story that was never part of the news, a story that was never part of the media, a story that was never talked about and publicized, but yet a very, very real story. That the months between that horrendous act that Larry committed and to the ultimate time of his arrest, Sonia and her small child lived in a state of very real fear and anxiety. That as that time passed, there were threats, continual threats made to her that the same acts that were committed would be committed against her. And so day by day, week by week, month by month, this dear lady and her daughter were in hiding. We're in a state of anxiety, in a state of very real danger, living with the fear of the unknown. And thankfully, most of us will never experience that kind of fear. The kind of fear when you wake up every day wondering if this is going to be your last, living under the threat of that kind of danger from something that used to be so precious here to you, and yet experiencing that. And that's the story that we're going to hear today. But here's the amazing thing. The story that you're going to hear is not a story about fear. The story that you're going to hear is not a story about anxiety. The story that you're going to hear today is not about danger or about threat. The story you're going to hear today is a story of just how great God is. That he is an overcomer. That he is a protector. That he is one that no matter the situation, he says, I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to allow you to fall outside of my hand, that I am with you. And what we'll discover today in this beautiful, beautiful story that really for the first time this is being shared is a God that is greater than my fear. And so can we please welcome Sonia Fernandez today? And we want her to come and just share her. Sonia works in our Sunday school. She works in the Wombaland, which is the I have more energy than a nuclear power plant age of kids. But yet she ministers and shares in so many different ways. And we're thankful. Sonia, thank you so much for coming and just being here. And we talked a little while ago of just how powerful God has been. Now, most people know the public version of the story. And, you know, you were here in part of this church, and most people had no idea what you were going through. And there were several months where you literally lived in fear for your life. Can you share just a little bit about that?
Well, there were, after we were separated, there were several months where we would, if we never knew when he was going to come to the door and what would happen. And as soon as we heard the knock on the door, Janice would drop her toys and run to the nearest closet. And I could barely make myself open the door. And every time the phone rang, it was terrifying. And I kept a suitcase packed in the car because I didn't know at any point I may have to evacuate the house. And so from July until October, I actually kept a packed suitcase in the car. And I would step out of my job on break just to get some fresh air, and all of a sudden there'd be a text, I see you're out on break. And I would survey the parking lot and I'd be like, dear God, how, you know, and I would just go back in. And One of the scariest things was a text. It said, I'm going to take, actually, this was a phone call. He said, I'm going to take Janice and disappear in Mexico. And you will never see her again, and you will never know what happens to her. And I went out of state to visit my sister in Minnesota, and we were back. We were in Menominee, and she was so afraid of the dark. It was her age, too, but she was afraid of the dark, and I had to stop in a motel because we just couldn't drive any further. And there was a text. I know you were out of state. And I was like, there's no communication at this point. How do you know that I was out of state? I'm not online. I mean, yeah. And so, and then one night I got a text, a voicemail actually. I have an expensive necklace for your neck. And I knew what that meant. Because at that point, I had already talked to Brian's sisters. I had already talked to the police. I already knew. For several months, I knew they were investigating him, and I couldn't tell anybody. And so I lived with this knowledge, and I just had to act normal.
And for those that don't know, Brian Harvey was strangled to death. That's how he was killed. And that message takes on a very chilling aspect. I'll never forget a conversation that you had one night. And when we had talked, we knew some things weren't going well. Mm-hmm. But not to the extent. But I remember one night you came in, and it was in the middle of the night, and you had your daughter there, and she was wrapped up, and there was, we knew something wasn't right, and you looked at us, and you looked and said, can you help hide us?
Well,
it blew Starla and I away, because we had no idea that it was at that extent. Can you just share a little bit of what led up to that moment?
Well, very soon after we were married, I knew things were going to go in the wrong direction, and I began to feel unsafe, and I was afraid, and I could not say anything. I just, it was something I couldn't tell anybody. And so at one point, we moved to Eau Claire and started attending here, and it would get a little better, and then but it always ended up going back in that wrong direction. And after a while, I realized we weren't safe, but it was not something I could share. And he told me that early on in the marriage, he said, you're not going to be allowed to leave. If you ever decide to leave, just know I won't let you. And so I started praying, because I thought, okay, God, you're the only one who can do this. And so for months, I was praying. And in April one night, some events happened. And this time I said, okay, God, you see this event. We really need to get out. And 30 minutes later, it happened. And it's, God doesn't always answer in the way we want or when we want. You know, I was hoping for like a Saturday morning where, you know, it'd be nice and easy. It was a Wednesday night at 8:30 p.m. that he told us to get out. And I thought, you know, this is my chance. He's telling me. This is my opening. So we packed and we got out, and that's how we ended up at your house.
And again, let me just put this into perspective, because she's looking at this as an answer in prayer, but yet you have an individual that is kicking out an infant child and a wife. And you see how this is playing out. And when, Sonia, I thank you so much and for sharing this, but understand, she's really downplaying the risk here. This is a very, very real risk. And for those of you who have ever been through or know somebody that's been through things like this, you understand what I'm talking about. But one of the things that just was so powerful to me is through all of this, through all of the times that you knew that even, you know, coming out of your home or when you were in places of hiding, you know, within different shelters that were doing just that, helping protect your life, you never missed a service. And I'm amazed because, you know, people miss church because, you know, there's too many leaves in the yard or, you know, that, you know, the street sign down the block, you know, didn't shine as bright as it should. I mean, it just seems like so many people are looking for reasons. But yet, for somebody that knew that it was dangerous for you actually to come out, you never missed out. And you said something to me that blew me away. You said, "This is the safest place I can be." Can you just talk a little bit about that?
Well, we felt like, I actually felt like the presence of God was so surrounding us that whole time that it where else could I go? I mean, that was the strength. I knew that was the reason that I was able to keep functioning in the middle of it, because I still had to work. I had to take her to daycare, and I had to trust every day that he wouldn't show up at daycare and take her, or who knows. And so I felt like I needed God's presence. And even though most of the people here didn't know hardly any of the details, they knew there was something going on, and they were praying. And I could feel those prayers so strongly that I felt like this was my security, this presence of God and being at church.
Yeah. I think, you know, one of the things that when we do talk about prayer, we say, you know, does anybody have a spoken request? And there's a lot of times a spoken request. And then we do this thing where we say, does anybody have an unspoken prayer request? And there are hands that show up. And I think there's a tendency for us to just, oh, that's something that we do. It's one of those unspokens. You need to understand that when somebody says, "I have an unspoken prayer request," that may be something like this: "I can't say it out loud, but I need your prayer. I need your prayer." And that, you know, begin to ask yourself, when's the last time you prayed for somebody's unspoken request? And here's a perfect example of it, mm-hmm. that I can't say it, but yet people are praying. In the midst of this, was there a principle or a verse that you just latched onto through this that helped bring some strength?
Well, since I was 10 years old, I decided that Romans 8:28 was going to be my response to difficult situations, because I know that not all things that happen are good. But I decided I either have to trust God or not. And all things do work together. And so it helped me when I thought about this to keep the right perspective. Like, this was not the end. This is just part of the process. And I think it also helped me to not feel like a victim. And sometimes when people go through this, they become victims. But I didn't want to be a victim. And God working things together, keeping that perspective, I think helped me to start healing. And the song "Because He Lives," the particular part about "because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future." And so there were certain songs like that that were real. And when you're not facing a situation like that, it's a nice song. But when you are in that situation, it is more than a nice song. It is real. And so songs on the radio and verses I would hear and just little things, little encouragements would just, they were much more precious. And to this day, I still, they're still so much more real to me.
Absolutely. Can you share about some of those moments where, you know, there was just that realization that, yeah, I'm facing something so big, but yet God is greater?
Well, we had, I had to, after the crime and before the arrest, again, I could not talk about it, but we had to go to court for a separation hearing and had supervised visitation. And I knew that I was going to have to place my baby in the arms of someone who was a stranger to her so they could supervise the visitation. And I didn't know what the outcome of that would be. And so she was terrified of strangers at that point. And so we prayed, and I'll never forget when I knew the individual who was supervising, and when I gave her to him, she giggled and she hugged him. And I was like, thank you, God. And as they walked into the building, she never even looked back at me. She was so comfortable with him. And I thought, thank you, God, because now I know that you're not only greater than my fear, you're greater than hers. And when they came back out, he told us that she was crying and he had to hold her the whole time. So God gave her that secure feeling with him. I couldn't be there. And as a parent, that's the most terrifying thing. When you're forced to put your child in a situation like that, you can't help them. And so I knew that God would take care of both of us.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, all the way through, and just so many different things through the investigation, you know, through the trial. I mean, not the trial, but through all of the court proceedings and all of these things. Just so many examples of God's greatness. Mm-hmm. Throughout. And even though life has gotten much, much better, you've still faced some fears and uncertainty since then. What have you learned through all of this that helps you today when you face fears or uncertainties that life throws at you?
Well, I had learned that God is with us in the middle of fearful situations. But I learned it to a greater degree. And in preparation for this, I was reading in, I had journaled for a little bit. And for successive years, I had written out the events of a particular month. And I was quite surprised to see that in that one particular month, I was worried about my life. And then a year later, I was worried about something significantly less. And the year after that, I needed tires for my car. And I was like, okay. And so I think that I learned, first of all, you know, sometimes we think, yeah, it is fearful if you don't have enough money and you need tires for your car. But at the same time, that's not so bad.
Yeah.
And so it, because I knew that God was working behind the scenes during that whole situation, then it helped me to understand that he's working in any situation. And we just take the next step. And you know, it's, and sometimes we think we want to know all of the plan. We would be terrified. And so it's okay. It's a good thing. I just want to see the next step.
That's kind of how the principle of what altars were in the Old Testament, that they were remembrances mm-hmm. of God's victories. And as you go back, like you said, it's like, okay, I need tires, but you know what? This is the same God that protected my life. This is the same God that hid me from danger. This is the same God that opened up all kinds of things. So I'm not going to sweat the tires. I know that God is able to do this, and it helps us in our maturity. And I think that's one of the things of what a maturing Christian is all about. That, yeah, there's peaks and valleys, but we have this history mm-hmm. of God's ability and mm-hmm. God's greatness in that. As a mom with a very beautiful and active and inquisitive and just all girl, mm-hmm. little girl, what are some of the lessons that you've learned that you share to her?
Well, we part of the thing that has helped me through this and all through my life was that when I was a child, I learned the Bible stories. And I learned how these people had fears and problems, and God was with them. And so, since she's been very little, we have been learning those things, those lessons, and those stories. And then we carry them into things that happen at school or at recess. And she is learning, and she'll already come up to me and say, you know, Mommy, I was scared, but I prayed. And because I don't take it for granted that her problem is so small that it's insignificant. But I talk to her about how God cares about her problem. And we can pray about her little problem. Because I want her to grow and develop this trust in God. And God cares about our little problems, because our little problems are little to Him. And so we sing songs about it. We just talk about people we know who God has helped. And we pray for people who are in situations. And she really trusts God. She really does.
Yeah. And kids are so quick to pick up mm-hmm. on the fears and the pressure of a situation. But yet, in the midst of it, and you've shared this before, how God just protected her mm-hmm. you know, in that.
Yeah, when we were at one point, we were living in an apartment, and it was so great because we didn't lose sleep. We sat around and played with toys and baked cookies and made quilts, and God protected her little environment in a way that she didn't come away scarred. Or, you know, there were a couple of times she was scared in the store of someone who resembled him, but she's even getting past that. And so God protected her in the middle of a lot of things that could have really been bad.
Yeah. And as you look back, and now that you know we have the advantage of hindsight, and you see really, you get a true understanding of just how much danger that you were actually mm-hmm. in. Sometimes it's even greater after we get through the storm, mm-hmm. and we look back and we realize it was even far worse than what we had imagined mm-hmm. and reflect on God's greatness. And it's kind of the worship after we've worshiped, mm-hmm. you know, thank you, God. Oh, I made it. Okay. Then now that I look back, I'm like, oh my goodness, I need to just worship again and again. Mm-hmm. How do you keep that continual reminder of God's greatness in your life without having to go back through and experience the pain, but experience the joy and the strength of God without experiencing the pain of the trial? What's one of the ways that you found that?
Well, one of the best ways is that when there's someone I work with, and I've been able to share with her about how God kept me safe. And when I encounter other people who are in fearful situations, I'm able to tell them that God will protect you. And I'm able to tell them just enough of the story for them to understand that God is with us. And there is actually a song that every time I hear it, I am reminded, because I felt like I was in the palm of God's hand. You know the picture you see of the little kid in the palm of God's hand? That's how I felt. And there is a song that says, this is how it feels to be held. This is how it feels when the sacred is torn from your heart and you survive. This is how it feels to be loved and to know that the promise was when everything failed, we'd be held. And so I occasionally take a trip back to certain parts, and I remember, and I say, thank you, God. And I share with people, and it, after a while, when you're focusing on what God did, the pain is not really there anymore. So.
But it just, that God's greatness overwhelms.
Yes, the greatness, God's greatness it was so much greater than what happened that it's almost like you're looking at it, yeah. Not in it.
Absolutely. And Sonia, there was a lot of conversations that we had during this, and you know, a lot of actions, and my, to your credit, I walked away going, why isn't she more afraid than she is? You know, because it was like you were encouraging us. It's like, it's going to be okay. You know, God has it. And, you know, I'm freaking out, you know. I was like, what, you know, I'm the one losing it. And I'm like, oh my goodness, you know, what are we going to do? You're like, it's going to be okay. God has this under control. You know, I just need, you know, can you help me do this? You know, I'm like, yeah. I go away, you know, I go to Starla's and, oh, she needs to be, you know, more worried. And, you know, and pray for me. But yet you grasped on to that so readily and ministered to me through it, that here is somebody that recognizes that could be so panicky and so full of anxiety, and nobody would blame you at all. We'd be saying, you were right. And yet there was this peace, and I love that past understanding, mm-hmm. that there was no reason for you to be peaceful, mm-hmm. but God's peace. Mm-hmm. was there, and that was so beautiful, mm-hmm. to see. Can you just explain a little bit what that kind of peace is like in the middle of the worst storm ever, and yet to be able to look out and be peaceful?
I literally felt like I was surrounded by a bubble. Like I was protected by this bubble that nothing could invade. That's literally how I felt. And like I was kind of floating through this, like I was surrounded by a storm, but I was in this protected place. And like I was actually watching it, not part of it, even though I knew I was. And I would have moments where I'd have to put myself back into that right frame of mind, but it was literally like I was so surrounded by prayer and God's safety that it didn't matter. God was in charge.
That's so beautiful. And again, when we talk about God's greatness and God able to do things, I think so much of the emphasis is on kind of the acquisition of it. You know, it's available. And you're presenting this beautiful perspective of that this is what it looks like when we do take hold of it, mm-hmm. when we do actually live in God's grace. And, you know, Sonia, one of the things that was so impressive, that of all the things that happened, I never once heard you blame God. I never once heard you, you know, say, why did God allow this? Or how could God do this? Or why would God put me in this? Never once. But what I heard from you was a continual stream of worship, a continual stream of what does God have next for me? I'm following him. And Sonia, that was so beautiful. And again, that is how God shows up. Mm-hmm. It's not I'm going to sit back and point, but you lived it. You lived it. Now, we're here in an audience today, and you're a perfect example that we don't know the stories. We don't know what people are going through. And there may be somebody in a very similar situation to here today or listening to this. You've been through this. What would you say to someone today that's struggling with fear, struggling with anxiety, struggling with something in their life that is overtaking them from the lessons you've learned? What would you say to them?
Well, I think we fear many things in life, the known and the unknown. And sometimes there's the secret fear that could potentially paralyze somebody. And sometimes we think we can just live with fear, but I think when we live with fear, we really die a little at a time every day. And fear is the opposite of trust. And when I wrote this down, I thought, this is when we trust God more than we fear the circumstances, we're able to take the steps that we should and let him work out his plan instead of being paralyzed by it or pushing our way through, and which tends to create more problems. And so I think we have to get the correct perspective, because David was small, Goliath was big, and we teach this in the Sunday school, and I teach Denise. He's big, but God's bigger. And when we think in those terms, even this thing that we went through, God was bigger. And yeah, it's not easy to take steps out of situations, but as we do, we gain strength and faith and courage. And before we know it, we can look back and there's a legacy of trust. And we're alive. We're living in a way that God meant us to live. And we're not huddled in a corner in fear. And so, yeah, it's big, but God's bigger.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Sonia, thank you so much. And I just appreciate your willingness to talk and to share. And if you're here this morning and you're facing any kind of fear, you're facing any kind of anxiety, this is a reminder that God is greater. And the beauty is the battle's not yours. That you're never going to be strong enough. You're never going to have it in you. And so many times that's where fear comes from, when we look at it and it says, it's overwhelming me. I can't do this. I can't make it. I'm not going to survive this. I can't wrestle against this. I don't have what it takes. And the answer to that is, you're absolutely right. You don't have what it takes. You will never have what it takes. But you have a God that says, you know what? Let me hold you. Let me carry you. It's my battle. And what I do is what the Lord does. He says, look, I will take the fear. I will take the fight. And here's what I give you. I give you peace. I can give you joy in the midst of this. I can give you that sense of protection that I'm in control. Just trust me. Just trust me. And I know fear is a wide thing. And here's a lady that faced a very physical fear, a very real and dangerous fear, but yet fear can come from so many different things. It can come from the uncertainty. It can come from a physical. It can come from an emotional. It can come from a relationship. It can come from a financial, anything. Whatever it is, you have a God that's saying, cast all your cares upon me because I care about you. It says, cast all your fears on me because I care about you. Cast all of those worries Cast all of those concerns. Cast all of those feelings of inadequacy. Cast all of those things that you've wrestled with in your past. Cast all of those things that you don't know what's going to happen in the future. Cast all of them on me because I care about you. What a precious promise. What a precious promise. And so we close the series with the same question that we began with, it, that yes, God is great, but when was the last time that God was great for you? In your situation, your problem, and your circumstance. And there's a God here today that says, I want to be great in your life. And one of the best ways that I know of, that I've experienced, is when we come and we just, okay, God, here I am, that we give our life to God and we recognize him as Lord, and we begin to walk out of here differently than how we came, that there's that recognition that God is greater and he's great for me. That, you know, I came in here worried, but something happened, even though nothing happened on the outside, something happened on the inside, and I don't carry that same worry. That I came in here fearful and something happened inside, even though nothing has changed on the outside, but yet something's different on the inside and I don't feel that same fear anymore. Come in with the weight of past decisions or past sins or circumstances outside or your control or circumstances as a result of your control. We come to an altar and we turn them over to God and we say, I'm leaving here different. I'm leaving here changed, that God is greater to me. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what this week was like. I don't know what today was like or this month or this year, but God knows. He knows. And God's wanting to do something great in your life. And as we stand this morning, this is how we're going to close. I just want to open up this altar, a chance to come to God, to come to thank him, maybe that you look back and say, God, you've been with me through some very dark times. And I just, now that I look back, I see you even in more clarity that you were with me. And I just want to thank you again for what you've done. What a great place. Maybe you're going through something and you say, God, I'm just laying it down at your feet. I'm wrestling with this. I'm going through this. God, would you help me? Would you help me? I want to invite you to come and talk to a God. Come and reach out to a God. God's here. He's wanting to do something great in your life today.